You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Bras, Bitches, and Bulls, and as always, I'm Nick. We have Lisa, who, in addition to questions, she will invariably have, she also has a story. And today we have, as our guest, we have Frank Nemechek, who will be telling us about some radio history. And here's Lee.
Hello. Not Facebook Live, but hello, everybody. I was just screwing around with my phone because, you know, that's what we do nowadays. We screw around with our technology because technology doesn't always work.
You're kidding me.
No,
you're
I'm not.
But then you have to, like, take a step back when you get pissed off that it takes more than 30 seconds or 5 seconds to load something and go, you know, 20 years ago, we had to, like, write a letter and put it in the mail.
Yeah, I now have a magic.
How would you know about 20 years ago? You were still in diapers then.
I love him already.
Frank, come back.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so cute.
Come back and visit us.
Okay.
So, Lee, we don't have Betty or Fiona here, but you do have a bra of the week from our sponsor, Busted, do you not?
I do.
I see. I saw it and I got all excited.
I know. I was trying to hide it. You're like, is it in your bag?
Like,
yes, it is. So, you guys know I have this affection obsession with Marley Stuckers.
Love affair.
I do. Like, so I own a bra shop, right? We know.
Really?
That. Yeah, I own a bra shop. So guess what I couldn't find this morning as I'm getting ready?
A bra?
Yeah. Couldn't find a bra.
And to wear or
yes,
to, for the
okay. Couldn't find a bra to wear.
I hate it when that happens.
Like,
it's like, where the hell did I put all those?
Bras? I don't understand. And then I've got this whole, like, shrine of Marley's Decker's bras. Do you think I put one of those on?
No, you're not putting that leather one on.
Because
it's
like,
not leather bra day.
No, nah, I can't see it under what I'm going to wear. So, yeah, I did find a bra where that a company sent me to audition. They're like, here, try this. Oh, okay. Well, this will work.
A bra audition? I'm down with that kind
and
of audition.
I kind of like it. But, so I then decided, oh, I couldn't go get my bra of the week yesterday because I played hooky from work. So I went and got some of my Marley Stuckers from the shrine. So I bring those to you.
And this one we actually did post a picture of so people who are not looking on Facebook Live can see it if they go to the Bras Bitches Twitter feed.
Mm-hmm.
But why don't you go ahead and show everyone? It's such a pretty
It is such
bra.
A pretty bra. It's a pretty pinstriped 1920s gangster bra. And right? You see it's got the suspenders in the back and the pretty little leather piece.
Flipping gorgeous.
It is.
It is so pretty. You want to take that? Will you take that over in front of the camera? Now, the other thing that's in my lap before you show them that is I have the other part of the collection that's a bodysuit. So frequently she'll take her bras and turn them into bodysuits.
And it's got little buttons on the front.
Uh-huh.
And is that a, I was going to say, is that a snap?
It's a snap thong. So it doesn't matter how big your ass is. It is just the best.
Or what kind of access you might need.
Right. Well, because, you know, and as I was younger, access would have been totally different. Now it's just because
exactly.
I would have
to pee. Right. Used to be for more fun things.
Yeah, but isn't that great? And it's got the same details in the back.
Yeah, and the little leather. This mm-hmm. is the Marley Stuckers imprinted leather.
And then we've got it right in the front.
Hello, Valentine's Day.
I know. Well, you know what this might be? It's part of my costume to go see the Glitter King.
Which I don't think I'm going to be able to go to.
What?
What?
You suck.
Well, I have the option of the Glitter King, and I'm a little concerned about noise and such with my health issues, or going up north to watch my 14-year-old nieces play.
Okay, fine. Just pick the child.
Fine. Be an amazing aunt.
Right. So I'm thinking I'm going to be super cool.
Do you
want to
see it? I do. You want to see it? You want to touch it?
I do.
Now you
touch
do.
It, feel it, touch love it, feel it.
So Marley Steckers, you can look Marley Ooh. Steckers up.
That's
online.
Got like a little padding, but not like so much that you're trying to like.
No, it doesn't add a lot of volume.
Or add,
it, it's just a foam cup. Nick is marketing himself to Facebook Live.
He's like, I'll take it. The gore is interesting too, because you have like the same material, but on the inside, it's got a little bit of like a not lace, like a tulle almost.
Mm-hmm. So, what is the gore? You may be asking yourself. The gore is that space where the wires come together. Here
you
in the front of the bra, in between. I know Nick is in the way.
Nick, get out of the way.
Nick, get out of the way. So the gore is.
Oh, the buttons. The buttons are cute.
So where he was just showing you where the buttons are, that's also where the gore is. So that's my Marley Steckers bra of the week because I'm kind of infatuated with her, and Valentine's Day is coming up, and I'm not. My style is not sweet, pretty, and lacy. Mine's always a little bit harder. That's okay.
Mine either,
too.
And I also hate Valentine's Day. But that we can talk about that next week.
We can talk about that another time.
Right. So, yeah. So, anyway, again, you can see that if you are not following the live feed, you can see it on the Bras Bitches handle on Twitter. Just look through our past tweets. The other thing that I tweeted out, and you probably haven't seen this because you can't get onto your Twitter right now, is that there's a lingerie blogger that we follow who posted the woman who runs the Underpinnings Museum. She does her own designing of lingerie and such, and she wrote this really detailed article about lace and the use of lace in lingerie and the styles of lace and why some bras are super expensive if you do get lace detailing because the amount of handwork that's involved.
Yeah.
So we retweeted that.
I'd like to see that. Take
pictures,
it over to the Busted Bra Shop page.
If you do not want to read about Chantilly lace versus
Chantilly
other
lace
types of laces. Thank you, Big Bopper. If you don't want to read all of it, still look at the article. Because the pieces of art that are lingerie that are in this article are just gorgeous, and it really is interesting, and it goes through like the and it gives some pricing in terms of if you want to buy this hand stitched lace, these bras are custom made and they're like X dollars, so it kind of gives you an idea of why certain products cost more than others.
What's the value of that product and what is the art?
So, so check out our Twitter feed for that as well.
So if you are also watching the Busted Bra Shop page, you would have seen that I put up some articles about Polish bras because the Polish bras are back in to the store. Comexum is the company that I love to use as often as possible. I used to carry Anna Pardal. Anna Pardal was a designer who had her stuff made at Comexum. So,
does Anna Pardal not exist anymore?
No.
Okay.
Nope. She does not exist anymore.
I mean, I'm sure she exists as a human. No, she does not. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No.
So,
rest in peace, Anna Pardal.
There we go. And so I went straight to the factory and said, "Hey, my name is Lee and I own this really cool store. And can I sell your product?" Because there's not a lot of boutiques that sell their product.
Yeah.
You can get it from Poland and sent over, and then you're kind of screwed because you can't try it on and their sizing is very different.
And the English to Polish, like a lot of Poles don't speak English.
Well, they do okay.
They do okay.
It's the sizing part that's so different and the conversion part. So and why are they so different from everybody else's bras? Because they are. They're just different. One of them is they make everything in-house at that factory. So it's not like they say, I'm going to do the cup and I'm going to get the wires from over here and I'm going to get the cups from over there and I'm going to get the lace from over here. They make everything. They embroider everything. They make it all. So their wires are a lot thinner than everybody else's.
I did see that in the article. The thinner wires was a...
So it's good for really small bodies and large breasts. So, and if you look at the genetics in Poland, you have a lot of slender, tall bodies and large breasts. And so that's where I go and get a really well-made product from them. So come and talk to me about Comexum, and I'll bring some Comexums with me soon. There's a couple other companies over there, too. One of them's a lot more expensive, Avocado. I've carried them before as well, but their size conversion is so hard a lot of times for my fitters to use that if they're not super comfortable with the Avocado, then they're going to bypass it. Mm-hmm. So if you are an Avocado fan, contact me. I'll let you know if I have their size. So there you go. All right. We did a lot on bras today, so I hope I didn't.
We always do a lot on bras.
Bras are important.
It's okay. I mean,
boobs are important.
They are.
They just love boobs.
Yeah. And our van is coming.
Yes, yes. You have to go pick up a van today.
I do. My Ford Transit, which I adore.
Your small child does not so much.
He's about to really hate it, actually. It's being wrapped in the Busted Bra Shop logos and, you know, where to – just information about the store, and which he's very proud of the store, but he's 10 and a half. And he's like, I'm not popular enough as it is. Can you not take me to school in a bra van?
Can you maybe drop me off in the other car?
Yeah, that would really be awesome. And I'm like, but part of my whole marketing thing was I was going to drive this thing up and down Woodward.
Like, okay, so maybe drop me off at the entrance to the school and I'll walk the block and a half.
Right. There's that. So he's freaking out just a little bit.
I'm just going to say it's going to be a small window where that's awkward.
Right.
Because as he gets older and goes like, yeah, my mom owns a bra shop. You should.
You can drop him off at my house and then I can drive him the extra mile back to the school.
I know, really. being a mom is tough. So when I walked in today, Nick was like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, yeah, okay, hey, fine. I'm a little tweaked. He's like, what? He's like, it's your lack of uterus. Don't worry about it.
Well, I have one, but haven't used it. So,
mine was used and had a kid. So this morning it was the deadline to get something into school that was only parents could do it. I had to get him the class pictures of him as a baby, pictures of him, you know, at different stages because he's in fifth grade. So they're going to be graduating out of that school and going up to the middle school.
Okay.
So they do a
video like a wedding?
They do a video that everybody gets the memory CDs, yeah, okay. And then they also have a display. Yeah. So I had to have
a little wedding thing.
Yeah.
Wedding
so I had video. To have physical pictures, and they needed to be an 8x10 baby picture. Okay,
are you kidding me?
I'm not that good of a mom. I don't have like all
who
these
gets
pictures.
8x10s? Like you just take a picture with your phone,
right? No, that's cool.
That's cool. Sorry,
it's a great place.
That's cool. It is, but. That's
so I fun. Had to go to Walgreens and take a picture and enlarge it. I'm doing all this after I drop him off before I get here and then go back to the school and give it to him.
You know,
it's a lot of fun. It was just like they gave us plenty of time. They gave me 2 freaking months.
Oh, yeah. You
and it was
that.
Due today.
But, you know, I could have. I have my baby picture. It's me holding my brother, so may have caused some issues. But I basically look like a little boy with a haircut I have.
Oh, that's cute.
So I could have just like loaned that to you. You could have been like, it's got like that crappy blue background from the, you know,
they would have never 70s. Known.
Yeah, my first baby picture is my mother holding me wearing like very 70s knitwear and bell-bottom jeans. And we're in the middle of Stonehenge.
Oh, nice.
Oh, my God.
That would be awesome. The best.
It's great because
you should have been like, I see if I had a kid and I was at Stonehenge, I would have had him in like a little
druid outfit.
Yeah. Like,
sadly, that never would have occurred to my mother, but then, you know, she could have easily driven me. She could have easily been driven to Stonehenge.
All I can think of is Spinal Tap.
And given birth.
The
yeah, exactly. The banshees live and they do live well.
There's a woman
in labor in Stonehenge. Nobody knows what she's there or what she is doing.
She's just there in Stonehenge.
She's just there. Yeah, no, it's nice because she's wearing like, you know, it looks like a Cosby sweater, but it's a vest.
Oh, God.
And then she's got like cornflower yellow sleeves.
Did she like crochet it herself?
Nick, I have to say this. It is a moral imperative that photo be posted online.
I can't find it. I had it and I can't find it.
It
is a I don't care what you have to do or who you have to kill. It is a moral imperative
that
photo end up online.
Yeah, because you know what it is? It's the first picture they took once I'd been cleaned off and they'd been like, and they were like, yeah, he's fine. You can take him. You know, it was the first. Yeah, because she lived near Stonehenge. So she could have, in theory.
See, I would have been like, let's go everywhere. Druid outfit for Stonehenge. Yeah, exactly. Let's go to Bath and we'll put a little Roman outfit on. Well, that would have been fun.
Yes.
Yeah, humans, I do
you
not.
You can't have kids or a chihuahua. That's just
no issue with either. I can borrow someone's baby and chihuahuas suck. Almost as bad as dachshunds.
Lisa has four dogs.
Okay.
Two beagles and two rottweilers.
Two beagles and two rots.
Okay.
So to me, it's just a hysterical combination. Two little bitty guys and two not so little bitty guys.
Mm-hmm. And my rot is like super tall. He's a runway model rot. He's very skinny and tall.
Yeah. He's gorgeous.
A runway model rot.
So he has a vague air of Doberman about him.
Yeah. Yeah. He mixed with Doberman. I'm like, I don't know. The rest of his litter is like pure Rottweiler, and they're like, you know, the typical stocky.
She's got one that's the stocky, short,
bitchy
dog. Oh, she
is. Rottweilers are generally not bitchy. They're very sweet dogs.
Next time I have to go into your house without you, I'm going to videotape so that you can hear or video. Did you hear the word tape? I'm going to do a video of the sounds because Minnie sounds like she's going to destroy
me. Yeah, she sounds like she's going to eat you.
And I know she's not because we go through this every time. I know how to make her happy.
She throws treats at her.
And I'm like, I'm a girl. Smell me. I'm a girl. You love me, Minnie.
She loves girls.
But it's a good 5 to 10 minutes of just, okay, I can do this. She's really not going to eat me. She's behind this gate that's not really secure. Really, yeah.
Okay.
And
keep them out of the kitchen.
The beagles are like, hey, and she's all freaking out.
Yeah, and my littlest beagle is a cuddler, so he just wants to climb in your lap. He's like, hey, what's up? Mm-hmm. Cuddle time.
Yeah, cuddle time. Yeah. Excellent.
So anyway, I got to tell you my story before we actually talk to Frank since we dragged him in here.
Absolutely. Frank was awesome to come in.
So
I'm very excited about it.
Yeah. So, you know, I am not one who really believes in like a lot of woo-woo.
Okay, woo-woo could be a lot of stuff. You must give me another word.
Are you thinking hoo-ha?
Might be. I believe in a hoo-ha.
I'm sure there are areas in the country where woo-woo totally is an acceptable.
Like new agey stuff. Right.
Okay.
So
meta?
Yeah, but the...
You don't believe in meta stuff?
The universe is... I mean, if there's scientific basis behind it, like I'm doing this acupuncture study, there's science behind acupuncture. But anyway, I feel like the universe is telling me I need to go relearn French. So
we all got very quiet. We're like,
okay.
There needs to be more.
That's a good intro. There are a couple new stations on the radio.
Are there?
French. Yeah, there are.
Duolingo is what I always
do. From Canada that I could get every once in a while. And then I'd listen to it for a while and I'm like, I don't understand a fucking thing. And then I just get frustrated. So
you could pick out things like poutine. Oh,
right, right.
I had that for the first time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Poutine's yummy.
Your story. You're keeping me on the edge of my seat here.
It's not that interesting. But so I have fibromyalgia, and so I'm doing this research study in Ann Arbor, and there was something. Oh, so we went to La Boheme over in West Village and had lunch, and Jean-Luc, the owner, is from France, and so, you know, I said bonjour and said it with a non-American
She did it
accent.
Very well.
And then he asked me in French, do you speak French? And I was like, oh, a little bit, which is like a little bit, not at all, really. Mm-hmm. So then I go to Ann Arbor for this, filling out the paperwork for this study. And I went to lunch at Zoop afterward. Not really like the place where you hang out with a lot of French-speaking people, Zoop in Ann Arbor. Mm-hmm. So I am leaving. And this older gentleman holds the door and he says to me in French, let me hold the door for you. And I'm like, okay, that's just weird. Okay, whatever. So this morning I was at the Best of Troy for the Troy Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
Dorn Burton sponsored the Best of Troy and I sit on the board. So we're sitting there and I am seated next to two French people who own a new massage luxe that has opened.
Oh, wait. We could get massaged and they could be speaking to us in French accents?
En français. Nice. So Valerie and Laurent sat next to me.
Oh, say it again. Say it again.
Valerie and Laurent.
Oh, pretty.
And they you know, I asked them, you're from outside of Paris. Why the hell are you here? They're like, good question. But so we started talking.
We heard this was the Paris.
And I'm like, all right, this is like.
You are so selling Troy right now.
Well, I mean, Michigan, not Troy itself. But I'm like, you're outside of Paris and you come to Michigan. And of course, her husband had worked in the automotive industry. And so that's how they got here. That so that makes sense. Right. Yeah. I mean, because like if you didn't have a job related reason to leave France, especially outside of Paris, to come to, you know, not DC even or somewhere that's like a big city. Why? And she's like, you know, of course, one of the great things about the area is large houses and large yards. And, you know, she has a small child, your child's age. And so she was like, you know, it's great to have separate spaces.
Right. And there's a lot of place. Oh, yes. Separate spaces with the children that age. Yes. Yes, it is.
She's So anyway, it was lovely to hear that they'd moved to Troy and they'd opened this beautiful massage studio. And it's looks great. And I suggested that if they ever, you know, missed France, they should go down to La Boheme. And she was very excited about it because she'd heard the wife really enjoys art. And so I was like, oh, well, we can help you with that. We know a bunch of artists. So
we know some of those awesome
but she'd heard
people.
About yeah, so she'd heard about La Boheme because of the art stuff that they do down in the basement. Anyway, so I'm getting up to leave, and my friend Antoine, who owns Media Genesis, is also from France, but I haven't seen him in a few years. And he came up to me and was like, hello, how are you? I'm like, all right, Antoine, I'm feeling like the universe is telling me I need to start learning French again. And he's like, well, you know, we are taking over the world.
That's a good – I like it.
Slowly but surely.
Yeah. Lively wants to learn French because in middle school you have to choose Latin, Spanish, or French. Mm-hmm. And he went and visited the middle school and two boys took him around and that's what – they both loved it. Mm-hmm. And so he came home saying, I want to speak French, where the conversation between my husband and I was, well, you know he's not going to take Spanish because he doesn't really enjoy it. He's been taking it. I don't know if he didn't like the teacher or what the reasoning was, but he doesn't want to speak Spanish anymore or learn how. And so Patrick said, well, then it's going to be Latin. I was like, nope.
What the fuck?
I don't want him to take Latin. He's like, well, there's a place for it. I'm like, I took 3 years of Latin. Did you take 3 years of Latin? Because I could have used 3 years of French. French would have been awesome.
Right.
Yeah. So luckily, I didn't have to say a damn thing. My kid came home and was like, I'm going to elect for French. Yes.
So and what she told me is they live in Birmingham and their son goes to a French school in the morning and then goes to the public school, which I didn't know there was a French school.
Français?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I have one of my best friends is Polish and I've told her we need to take her on a trip to Poland to visit
I saw
the factory
that.
Since she can translate for us.
Yeah. I want to have my own busted line of bras. I think that's the way it has to go.
But they live in DC and so their son goes to Polish school. I think he goes on weekends and then, you know, is in regular elementary school because they don't want him to lose the language. and he used to have, you know, a Polish when he was at home all the time, they spoke Polish at home all the time. And now he's in school all the time. So
the ear is gone.
Yeah, but I wasn't aware that there was a French school.
There's immersion spaces all through this area. There's a German immersion. There's a Romanian immersion. So there are places for people who want to learn other languages.
I wish there was an immersion for adults.
There's no adulting immersion. You just have to kind of figure that out or just not.
There is a Academy Francais.
Be kind of a mess. So we've got quite a few things to do. We got to talk to Frank here in a minute. Yep. I want to remind everybody that Opera Moto is doing their double entendre. Did I say it right?
You did.
Oh, thanks.
Yes.
Production coming up in February, about the 23rd. But the 20th and 21st, they're letting people come in to see the tech and dress rehearsals. And those tickets are only $15. And they are going to be every ticket, $5 of that is going to go towards the local Rotary Club. So I will put that up on the way to get the tickets there. So normally the tickets are around $35 and Opera Moto sells out. Mm-hmm. Their whole last season, every ticket plus was sold out. So opening up these dress rehearsals is another way to see the show and also to help the actors and the artists really get into the production of it. Plus, they have an app, which is it's a new thing for opera that they've developed. Instead of having subtitles that you're reading and you're missing what's happening in front of you, they do this app that in between the scenes they explain what's happening on your app, and then it's that it shuts down and you watch the scene.
It's a fantastic use of technology in theater. Yeah. Rather than saying turn your phone off, they're like, keep your phone on your lap, and before every scene you get a little summary. This is what's happening.
Yeah.
Okay, now you can watch and understand what's going on.
Right. And then
that's beautiful.
It goes dark. So it's a great way if you can go to these productions, then it's beneficial to both parties. But normally a ticket's $35. So getting to go for $15 is also another way to bring
remind
in
me
more
the, what are the dates of the dress rehearsals?
I believe it's the 20th and 21st of February. Mm-hmm, it's the Tuesday and Wednesday.
I believe
and it's
right.
at the Jam Handy. So we'll put all that up on the website. I promise I'll put that up today.
Plus, seeing a tech in the dress rehearsal is a really cool way to see a production as well. You actually get to see part of what goes into a production.
Right.
Rather than just...
You kind of get a little breaking the fourth wall, behind the scenes kind of experience. And I will reiterate again, everybody who listens consistently knows I hate opera, but traditional opera. But I did go with you to the last production that they did, and it was at the Scarab Club, and it was super cool. And
it was
really they really, Opera Moto is really trying to make opera accessible to a new generation of viewers who may not be interested in just, you know, dressing up in a ball gown and going and sitting with 400 other people and reading a giant scrolling screen and going,
and these,
I don't know what the hell's happening, but
these
I'm supposed
to
like
this. Amazing. but the two productions are going to be a lot of fun too. One of them is basically about a couple, the woman's like, being a chick is hard, and I've got all these kids and you don't understand. And her boobs grow really, really big, and they fly off of her body, and they attach onto her husband, and he gets to take on that role, and she gets – so it's a flipping of genders, gender roles. And then – and that was a lot of – I think it's really appropriate for the time. So – and then the other show in this double production is about a young boy who abuses his toys, and they retaliate. Mm-hmm. They rise up against him. So okay. I'm excited about both of these.
Interesting.
Okay, I feel like we should have had another camera on my facial expression when you said her boobs do really make it fly off and attach to her husband. Like, you should have had a camera. I don't know if Facebook
like
Live could zoom in. Could see that, but I could feel my facial expression. Yeah.
I mean, well, if you and I were married and you were just – I would hope that the universe would do that for me, that I would be like, listen, motherfucker, you're not going to do this. We're not going to play those roles. You're going to have to help. I've got 18 kids back here, and we need you.
You know? Get some freedom.
Yeah. So that I think that's going to be a really interesting interesting couple of productions. I mean, in my household, we share every duty. There's not one person that cooks or one person that takes out the garbage or somebody that walks the dogs or, heaven forbid, clean the house, because we don't actually – we pay people for that. But because I don't have
– Everyone who can should pay people.
Yes. I just – don't come to my house before the maid comes, because it's a disaster. It's a disaster anyway, but at least it's a cleaner disaster. So our household doesn't have a lot of those kind of gender roles. And I was very – as a young person, I wasn't going to get married because I wasn't going to – I can't fit into those molds. It doesn't happen. I get really pissed off.
I got married, but that was part of the problem.
Yeah, see? And I was like, I just can't do this. So, Frank, you have been so kind to come down this morning, because I know you have a job gig. But you decided to come and tell us about your blog and – yesterday was a special day that you put out on Facebook, and since we're doing podcasting, I thought that you could talk about radio.
Absolutely.
I loved radio. Radio is a wonderful, wonderful media.
For anybody who didn't know, because apparently I think I'm the only media outlet that covered this, but yesterday was the 85th anniversary of The Lone Ranger debuting as a radio play right here in Detroit.
Here in Detroit.
Now, I saw that, and then after I saw that, so I think somebody must have picked it up from you, I did see someone else tweet it out, but I was like, I already know that because I saw Frank's blog on Facebook.
Thank you.
So, yeah, I think they got it from you.
You know, there are actually – I know for a fact there are several journalists who do follow my blog and get the RSS great. Feed and everything and are on the email list. So, yeah, because you can see like at Freep and so on and so forth and some right. of the email subscriptions. Yeah. So, yeah.
So I'm a total history nerd, which means I don't watch the History Channel because there's no history on it. But there are some other cable shows that do actually cover history. And one of the things that I watched was on, you know, Old West outlaws and mm-hmm. and law enforcers and things like that. And the rumor is that the Lone Ranger was actually based on an African-American lawman.
Mm-hmm.
From Texas, right? Who actually turned his own kid in at one point.
Yeah. Well, the creators of the show never said anything about what their inspiration right. was. What was it? Bass Anderson.
Yes. Is yeah. the guy that I was like, I wanted about. To say Bat Masterson, and that's not it.
Yeah, Bass Anderson.
I thought we were going to say Batman.
Bass Anderson. There's actually a little bit of a debate as to who would have served as who was a closer analogy to the Lone Ranger, Bass Anderson or another group of Texas Rangers. I left to look at my notes. Captain John Hughes.
Okay.
Is this a picture of him?
Yeah, this is a picture of him. We did the follow up article. Personally, I'm in the camp that says that probably the John Hughes was a little bit closer to the Lone Ranger than Bass Anderson was.
Okay.
Because one
– Is he John the one with the mask on? Is that the one I should be looking for?
Yeah.
He's the one who's – I think he's the one who's standing. So if you go to everyone longs to warndaleblog.com, you can see the actual articles.
You can see the pictures that Lee's laughing at.
Yeah.
Oh, there is one guy with a mask on.
Of the guys standing.
He's except like, for he's one of them. Totally the Lone Ranger. Don't tell anyone.
He's – yeah.
So anyway, so John,
this guy was a big
not John Hughes.
So Bass Anderson was a U.S. Marshal.
Okay.
So a bit, you know, there were some parallels between him and the Lone Ranger, but there's a much more of a parallel between him and between Captain Hughes and the Lone Ranger.
So Captain Hughes was a Texas Ranger.
Was a Texas Ranger. Bass Anderson was a U.S. Marshal.
Okay. So how did we get from Texas lawmen to a radio program in Detroit?
Well, as it turned out, back in 85 years ago, the guys who owned WXYZ when it was a radio station back then, rather than, you know, importing content from somewhere else and having to pay for it, they decided it'd be much better to create their own content. And to, you know, then market it to the rest of the world from there. So
this
the guy who
is a
owned
good
it.
Model. Yeah.
Detroiters are awesome. We are creative.
So, yeah. So it was created by the Detroit station.
Yeah. It was created mm-hmm. by the Detroit station, WXYZ, back when it was a radio station.
Mm-hmm.
They created it and put it on the air. It started out very simple as a very simple local thing. It was just, you know, Detroit only for a couple of years. And eventually it started getting picked up elsewhere. Became, I think, like 3 or 4 years later, became nationally syndicated, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then from there, you know, as television came on, you had the Lone Ranger TV program. You had a couple of movies, comic books.
A fantastic horse.
A fantastic horse.
Fantastic horse.
Did he have an Appaloosa?
It was a white horse.
With the dots on its ass?
I don't know.
No, it was a gray. No. It was a gray, okay. Hence silver, but it was a big white horse. Okay. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, we don't really need to get into the weeds of horses.
That's a whole nother problem.
I mean, I went obscure enough by actually calling it a gray. So that's pretty much, you know.
I said Appaloosa and Lee gave me a look like, what the fuck is an Appaloosa?
I know what an Appaloosa is, but I'm trying to think about what it was a gray horse.
It was a horse. I don't know.
Yeah. So it was actually kind of interesting, you know, finding this. My blog mostly focuses on the Warrendale neighborhood, which is mm-hmm. on the far west side of Detroit. But, you know, periodically as I'm researching other things, this is one of those things where, like, you're researching one thing and you stumble across this. And long story short, I'm like, oh, This would have been like, you know, a couple of months ago. A couple months ago, I was researching something, came across, you know, the history of the Lone Ranger, realized that, okay, hey, the 85th anniversary is coming up. And through the wonders of technology, I actually just wrote this post actually a couple of months ago, set it to auto publish on the anniversary. Okay. And
just like forgot about it.
Yeah, actually, I did forget about it.
Planning and organization.
Yeah, we're not that organized.
I don't know. I planned some
sometimes
stuff.
Sometimes I am.
When I was on vacation, when I was skiing, I planned posts and scheduled them. And I think it's a good way to go.
Sometimes I'm on top of it, but sometimes, well, I'm not.
Sometimes things happen, like cars get stolen.
Oh, I was I was going to mention that. What happened? We'll cut on to that.
We'll talk about your Lone Ranger soon.
The Lone Ranger and Tonto phoned my car. After it was stolen. So
wait, Jay Silverheels is still around?
Yeah, well, you know, they're still out there. They're still out there. Well,
that's great.
So, as a total aside, wasn't Bozo the Clown also originally a Detroit
production? Yes, he was. Although he was never radio.
But right. It was a TV.
Yep.
But yeah, Bozo was actually from Detroit.
What else radio was here?
Green Hornet.
Really?
That's right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So, because that was the other one. There was a whole bunch of ones that came here. The two that became big started in Detroit radio and became big are the Lone Ranger and Green Hornet. Green Hornet was a few years later. They were like, hey, we got this hot property. You know, let's try and repeat this magic. Once Lone Ranger became a really big thing commercially, they said, like, let's try to repeat this magic.
And there's kind of let's take the general setup and port it to a different time zone kind of thing.
Exactly.
Green Hornet. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you make a couple of twists.
Yeah, exactly.
To keep it a little original.
Yeah. Well, they had a great car.
The horse. But it's named after a horse. So the car's the Black Beauty. So it's
right.
Like, you know.
Right. See, it was a horse.
It was a horse.
It had some horses under the hood.
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
That was not a good joke. Thanks for laughing.
That was a sympathy laugh. That was a sympathy laugh. I think we all know it.
That's a dad joke, and you're not even a dad.
Hey, I could take on that gender role. Who knows?
You could.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. So we're just – anyway.
So what else do you blog?
Yeah, I was
about?
Just going to ask that.
So radio talk to us about your blog.
So I mean, primarily what it's focusing on is the Warrendale neighborhood on Detroit's far west side. And all the things that are happening in and around it.
So what are the boundaries of Warrendale? Is it like it's west of Delray and like where kind of
Warrendale is kind of unique geographically in that it's surrounded on two – it's within the Detroit city limits, but it's surrounded on two sides by Dearborn and one side by Dearborn Heights. So the main crossroads –
so it kind of juts Dearborn Heights area.
Exactly. Okay. Warren Avenue and the Southfield Freeway are kind of like the big intersections in terms of where you're at. So we've had, a lot of things that will happen throughout the years. It has a very strong commercial retail business strip along Warren Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably say stronger than just about anywhere else in the city limits, you know, with like close to 90% of all the retail space occupied by small businesses, most of whom are locally owned. There's a couple, you know, you got a CVS and an AutoZone in there, which are the only like big national chains, if you will. But everything else, I mean, the grocery stores, the local bakeries, the so on and so forth.
Taylor, that are all in there. Shoe store or whatever.
Exactly.
Whatever all the neighborhood needs.
Exactly. It's all right there. You know, a couple of bars, auto mechanics, you name it, up and down everything. So it's pretty, you know, in Detroit, it's a very strong retail thing. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of stuff that always happens in and around there. You know, the mortgage crisis and trying to rebound from it. We're also immediately adjacent to Rouge Park, which, one thing I'll always remember people is Rouge Park is the largest park in Detroit. It's almost like three times the size of Belle Isle.
I did not realize it was that big.
It is that big.
Wow. Yeah.
So.
Huge, yeah.
It's pretty huge park.
It is. And so there's
PHP.
Exactly. And there's lots of things that are that keep happening in there because the
group. There some arrests like back in the day? Was Rouge Park where there were a lot when they were cracking down on gay men?
That was it.
That day.
That was Rouge Park. Okay. That was an
operation, not one of Detroit's proudest moments. Once upon a time, the Rouge Park was a kind of a mecca for gay men to have
meetups.
Meet up. And that prompted the Detroit Police Department in one of its more embarrassing moments to create an operation called Operation Bag-a-Fag. Is actually what they called it.
Oh, my God. I totally forgot that was the name of it.
That is what they called
it. Yes, but I remember that was horrifying. Yeah. It was horrifying then. It's even more horrifying.
I think all
now.
The oxygen just left the room for a second. Chief, holy crap.
Yeah, that was what they called it, and it was a very intense crackdown on gay men in and around Rouge Park. Mm-hmm. Now, as somebody who lived in that area at the time, I will tell you that there was needed to be something,
right.
But
there
they
was
definitely
a problem. But the name and the way they went about it was
and I'm even more of an about the way they went about it. They take a much more heavy handed approach to things than they really should have.
Yeah.
How long ago was this?
This would have been early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, somewhere around there.
So okay. Gil Hill, Gil Hill
who was
the
chief of
chief?
Police then?
I don't remember chief of police. Gil Hill was never chief of police. He was one of the inspectors.
Oh, you're right. Okay.
I don't remember who would have been chief of police at that point in time. That probably would have been like the early parts of Archer's. It would have been Dennis Archer's tenure.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
What's that?
I was in Mobile, Alabama at the time listening to the Vomit Spots as often as I could in the 80s and 90s.
And everyone was sitting around here in Detroit going, how much longer until Lee moves up here?
Right. Yeah. They just didn't know it.
They didn't have any idea.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I moved into the city in 1998, and I remember there were a lot of issues then going on with Rouge Park and the enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's what I remember. But I had no idea that it was that big of a park. You hear park and
you think like a Palmer neighborhood. Park.
A park. Yeah, a
gas stop kind of thing.
But not bigger
like
than Belle Isle.
Yeah, because it starts at Warren Avenue, goes along the Rouge River, which flows through the middle of it, any from a half mile to a mile width-wise. In terms of length, it goes along the Rouge River to north of Plymouth Road, which is a couple miles to the north. So all total, you're looking at almost 4 square miles.
Wow.
Wow.
That is huge.
So how did you get into blogging about Warrendale? You live there, sounds like. So you're a resident and
– Yeah. I live there, and what it boiled down to is back – I started this in 2005 because I realized that there was a lot of stuff that was happening in the neighborhood that absolutely nobody was paying any attention to.
Now, 2005.
Mm-hmm.
You and I knew each other at that point.
Yes, we did.
We were on Detroit Yes together at that point. What was your handle?
F. Nemechek.
That.
Oh, you weren't
very
you weren't
original.
Hiding, huh?
I know. I didn't – when I created my handle, I didn't realize it was the thing to like have an obscure handle.
So like my friend Ted, I still call him Toolbox.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that what you call Ted Toolbox?
Yes.
And I thought it was because he was handy.
Well, he is very handy. His wife says that
that's probably
he's my second
why
husband.
He picked the name Toolbox. Right.
He was very handy.
Well, some of the people on Detroit Yes, though, had worked in positions where they needed to keep on the down low.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mine, I didn't mind putting my position out there. I was cafe because I had a cafe at the time. Super Sport.
I remember Super Sport.
He's hard to forget. I saw him not too long ago working the beat. He's a cop. Everything's flying out of my head. There was a lady who's taught English named English.
Mm-hmm,
and people kept just ragged on her so hard. it's original? What? You're the giggling
it's just,
now.
No, it's just. I mean, I guess it does what it says on the tin. I mean, you know.
But so we
creative,
knew each other from
she
there.
Teach creative writing. She taught English.
She taught English. Her classes
and then
were really
we had
fun.
The cafe, so we saw each other in real time then. And so you were writing the blog back in 2005.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it started there because there was just like so much stuff that nobody else was covering. I mean, literally back then, you know, I would read the paper every single day. And there would not, you could go an entire year or more without a single article being written about any of the umpteen things that happened in and around the neighborhood. And I kind of thought that was kind of a really bad thing. You know, that yeah. there was so little coverage of this neighborhood with, you know, a little more than 9,000 homes in it. So it's a decent sized population.
That's huge, right.
So I just started blogging and covering, you know, little things that were happening. Sometimes some of those little things, you know, like the crime issue, became really, really big. There was the bus stop shooting a few years ago. Where I ended up live blogging it and my traffic got really, really huge that day. Sometimes the world came to my doors up and I was like right there and everybody's following it. And then there's all the umpteen other little things that happened, you know? And then as the years have gone on, I started to notice that, the news media here in Detroit is covering the neighborhood a lot more than they used to.
Did you find that when back in the day when you were looking at this and saying they're not covering Warrendale, was it a consistent thing for all of the neighborhoods? They just weren't covering. They were covering what was happening downtown.
Downtown, a little bit midtown.
But really that was it. They weren't covering Warrendale. They weren't covering Jefferson Chalmers. They weren't covering North End and New Center, which I don't think North End was a thing then. But
yeah.
I lived in New Center when I moved down, and then over to East English Village. Yeah. And I didn't really read the paper all that often, but I don't think there was ever really a whole like, hey, on Warren on the east side, this is what's happening. This is what's going in terms of new businesses. There's a new, you know, they're resurfacing the streets. None of it. It was really very
occasionally
area focused, you know, the metro area or downtown.
Right. Whenever there was a, you know, violent crime that would happen, that would pop up. That violent crime and fires popped up, but nothing else.
Did you hear the story about the fires that happened? I think it was yesterday that the firemen went in and they rescued 12 dogs, I believe. But they had to give them CPR and gave them their oxygen masks. I was hearing just a very small amount of it on my freak out trip this morning. And I was like, thank you, firemen. Yeah. I want to know where you were so I can bring you cookies.
Yeah.
They did a good job. They saved the babies. Sorry.
No, I did not hear about that. But so
Nick's like, what the you guys talking about today? All right. It's just
dog CPR is just so cute.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's got to be harsh.
So they covered the bad things, but really nothing outside of the big major bad things.
Exactly.
That were happening.
So there's all these other things that were happening too. I mean, from, you know, even some of the smaller scale crime issues that were of interest to the neighborhoods, you know, resurfacing of, you know, the streets, Southfield Freeway being completely redone, new businesses opening up.
There were none of those like local patch type.
Exactly.
Right.
Things, that you know. That did not exist, and there was no media outlet anywhere covering that.
Right.
So I just started covering this stuff, and you know, posting it. You know, I have a day job, so that you know didn't do ink goes down. As the years have gone on, though, I found that the news media is starting to cover it much more. They still have a whole, focus that they need to do, but they are covering, you know, like Warrendale and some of the other neighborhoods a lot more than what they used to.
Sure.
Well, that's good.
So, and I don't know, you know, I have talked to a couple of them where, you know, the ones who subscribe to my blog.
You make it easy to find, for them to find the content that they can publish. They don't have to go search for the story.
And the great thing is that, you know, a couple of years ago, I even started seeing where I was hearing about a story in my neighborhood for the first time in the Detroit Free Press.
Oh, wow.
Or on Channel 7, you know, or on WXYZ or where have you. So that is a hallelujah moment.
Yeah.
That was like my mission accomplished moment. Mm-hmm.
Do you think there are more – I mean, I know the problem with print media is that a lot of a lot of the positions have been cut. And so it's interesting to me to hear that even amidst that, there's more coverage of the neighborhoods. Do you think that there are more people living in the city now who work for those papers, or is it just kind of a
I don't know what it is that has prompted them to start paying more attention to the neighborhoods.
My theory is back think about back in the 70s when all your whole world was a few miles around you, right? Mm-hmm. You did everything right. A few miles around you. You were tethered to the wall with your phones. You were, you know, the TV shows, we only had a few channels, and you got you did get a lot of local stuff, but we wanted worldwide stuff. So we've gotten into a different situation where now everything is very worldwide view, right? But people
– But you don't know what's happening to your next-door neighbor.
But we're a me generation. I mean, mm-hmm. everything is about me now. It's not my generation, but our kids. Where they're on the phones, it is really their own space, even though they have a worldwide view. I think they're turning away from that worldwide view a bit and trying to figure out what's happening around them, but they want it through their devices. They can't open up.
I'm sorry. I'm just sitting here thinking about how when we were in middle school and you had to sit on the phone with your friend in like the kitchen or wherever the wall phone was with the cord.
You'd take it all the way around into a closet.
The really long cord.
Yes. Mm. How far down the hall can I get so I can whisper and then get in trouble because we didn't even have call waiting. Finally, call waiting became a thing. And it was like, oh, it's great. I can be on the phone and be like, we did have a party line when I was growing up. I grew up in a rural area up north, so we did still have a party line. You pick up the phone and somebody else would be on it.
It was a big deal. At Christmas, I got my own line when I was 11, my own phone line, so that I wouldn't.
Nice. Exciting. So you weren't on the phone all the time.
Right.
Because then it was busy. Right. And your dad was like, get off the damn phone so I can call and see if your mother needs milk.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
So like, she
now we just text. Hey, I was on at Kroger yesterday texting. Do you need X? Yes. Okay. Pick it up.
So, but you know what's cool about you? I can text you and you text me back.
Yeah, I don't it when people call just ghost you or call. Don't call me. If I'm texting you, text me back.
It's really funny. I'm texting you because I can't talk.
Right. And if I call you, it's because I'm driving and I can't text because I don't talk to people if I can text them.
No, we don't do those things. We don't do those things. Okay, so we only have a few more minutes.
I have
Thank
one more
for coming.
Question,
yes,
though, Frank. You have a day job. What do you do as a day job?
I'm an insurance agent, mostly life and health insurance.
Okay.
So we had the huge open enrollment season last year it's a couple months ago. Everyone, you know, who gets their own insurance through the Obamacare system mm-hmm. still, all the Medicare people, and then also a lot of I do some work with some small businesses too. That was kind of like that time period where everybody's making their changes for the year.
Yeah, so you're probably pretty busy in November.
With Medicare, that actually starts in October. So from October through December, it was insane. Right now, you know, that's over and done with. So it's essentially some cleanup and catch-up work. I got a list of people that I got a call today to remind them to make their first monthly premium or else the policy is going to get canceled.
Oh, you're reminding me I have to pay for my next month. Yeah. If it's February, you got to pay for that.
Yeah. So I got to, you know, I have to remind some folks about that and some people who have special enrollments, they pop up. So we take care of that for them, help them with the paperwork, the documentation that they had to submit to that.
Are you captive or can you buy for multiple?
I have contracts with Blue Cross Blue Shield, Priority, United, pretty much all of them.
Okay.
So if we want to go to your blog, is it just Warrendale Detroit blog?
Warrendale blog.
Exactly.
Warrendaleblog.com.
Warrendaleblog.com.
Yeah. I only know that because I tweeted it out yesterday.
And thank you very much for doing that.
Yes,
she's our tweeter.
For our 50 followers. Follow us if you're not following us on Twitter. We appreciate your follows.
Yes, we do. And your retweets.
And your retweets.
Absolutely.
Tweet.
Exactly.
It's still just, Yeah. And I can IG, so I'll put everything on the IG.
So, Frank, you also do have a Twitter account.
I do, which is at FNemecek.
You want to spell Nemecek?
F-N-E-M-E-C-E-K. You guys just tweeted at me, so my handle's also in your tweets.
Yep,
there
you can
too.
Find us on our tweet. One of the last tweets we did. If you look in our tweets, we we tagged Frank in it, so you can find. And we also mentioned the blog address, so you can find both of those
you
there.
Can find
as well.
All of that if you just go to that
at
tweet.
Bras Bitches.
Yep. Bras Eggs. Bitches. Yeah. So there we go. We have lots of things to guess.
Do we have upcoming events?
We do have some upcoming events.
We missed
events.
One that we should have mentioned because our friend Toolbox and your husband are both bicyclers. The Velodrome opened.
Yes, it did.
Right off the expressway. Mm-hmm. Is it off the Warren exit? Is it Warren and 75?
It's Mac.
Okay, so Mac and 75, the giant
white
puffy dome that you see.
Sometimes you see colors coming out of it.
It's a velodrome, so bicycling thing. I don't bicycle. I have a mountain bike that's, the tires have rotted because I haven't.
Okay.
Rouge Park does have a mountain bike trail.
Oh, really?
Yeah, don't take a mountain bike to a velodrome.
You kind of need the racing bike with the thin tires for that. But so that opened last weekend, though, and I was sick and sleeping all weekend, so I did not make Winter Blast. Did any of you?
I did not make Winter Blast.
No.
I didn't. I stayed away from it.
I avoided
Winter Blast, which is probably not what I should have done. But I worked. I was working.
Yeah,
I had private
business.
Parties, and it was lots of fun. And then school was off Monday, unlike anybody else's school. The teachers had what's called Records
Day. Oh, like an in-service?
Yeah. And so my husband, we took Lively skiing. We discovered all these years that I've lived in Detroit, we've discovered that there's a place to ski like 30 minutes from his school. Stupid, right? I get it.
That's right, because you went up to Pine Knob, and I was like, Knob is in Petoskey. Or I was like, Pine Knob's in Petoskey, but that was Nub's Knob, and Pine Knob is in Clarkston,
it's
right?
It's really, really close. I don't know. I didn't go.
Yeah.
Our school wasn't in school and everybody else's school was in school, it was him and some of his classmates out there and then the parents were working up in the main lodge. So, that was kind of cool to discover. Another lovely thing about living in Detroit is that if you want to go skiing, you can do that.
We can also go up to Mount Holly.
You have to show me these
things.
Oh,
yes.
Now that they put skis on me, I can do all kinds of stuff. You will see.
I don't ski, but if you go up to the Renaissance Fair in Holly, you'll see Mount Holly, and there's also the Bald Mountain Recreational Area. So I will take you geocaching in Bald Mountain,
I would love to know what is out there past 8 Mile, because it's very rare that I get out past 8 Mile. Nowadays I do, but in the beginning, when we first lived in Detroit, 2001 to 2006, I would get lost.
All right. Have you been to Kensington Metro Park?
No, I have no idea
Stony
what that
Creek
is.
Creek Metro Park?
No.
Okay.
All right, we need to take you to some Metro Park.
We will fix this.
It's kind of like, I grew up in Mobile, Alabama. If somebody had said, there's a beach near you, and I would have been like, what do you mean there's a beach near me? So now I live in Detroit,
Stony
and it's like,
Creek
wait,
too,
there's places
there's nature?
There are so many things. I think we should start planning this right now.
Schedule it out.
As we introduce Lee to all of the things in the Detroit metro area.
Yeah, but
also,
I think I'm afraid
of
leaving
love
the city.
Of murder,
I used to be afraid
of your
leaving
love
the city.
Of murder.
My love of murder or
your
my
love
fear
of
murder?
You'll love fear of murder.
I mean, there's
there
so
is
many
a
things
thing
that we can do.
It's a complicated Stony relationship.
Stony Creek.
What there's about a murder?
Yes, recently.
Fairly
recently, the guy that was his wife, he reported his wife missing, and then
that's when they found the torsos and stuff. He dismembered her.
Yeah, and just
Holy
sort of
shit,
left her at Stony Creek.
So that's one that we should send to.
See, it's always
my favorite murder.
It's always the husband, because there was a similar situation where the guy pushed his wife off a yacht in Traverse City, and was like, "My wife went missing." Yeah, she did.
Oh, the old Robert Wagner trick.
Exactly.
Speaking of Robert Wagner, and then we're gonna stop because then Jess is like, "You got a minute?" So, Pink Panther. Pink Panther
Black
opinions.
Panther?
Uh-huh.
Pink Panther opinions.
Oh, we should do.
You mean the old cartoon show?
No.
The original
movies.
Love them.
No, okay. I can't stand the other five. I love the first one. I love the first one so much that the music is awesome. I want the clothes. We watch it yearly, if not more than that.
Have you seen A Shot in the Dark? Because
Shot in the Dark. No.
That's actually where Clouseau originally.
Oh, I'm like, are you singing Bon Jovi?
No.
It's not a Pink Panther movie, but it is Clouseau. It's mm-hmm. like it's mm-hmm. it's huh. like a precursor to.
Well, I don't remember seeing it, but I do want to see Black Panther.
I do want to see Black Panther. Oh, yeah. I do want to see Black
I mean,
Panther.
Totally different genres.
Completely
but.
different. But Pink Panther, the very first one, Robert Nevin, is the actual main character. Clouseau's, Peter Sellers is just a minor support, mm-hmm. supporting character. And it takes place in a ski resort in Italy. And it is amazing. The clothes are amazing. Yep. The story is great. It's funny. And
So I haven't seen it since I was a kid, so I don't remember anything about
Robert
it. It's like slapsticky, like a Spaceballs kind
no.
of thing?
No, that's not. The other ones. That's the other
oh,
ones.
Oh, okay.
And I put on like the second Pink Panther for Lively, and he's like, what is this?
There is a touch of like, it, in because the, that's what Clouseau the is there for as the comic relief, but it's not totally over-the-top Blake Edwards-y, which is what okay. the rest mm-mm. became.
Got it.
Yeah. When you watch this, when you start thinking, who wrote and directed this? Because it's not the same.
Yeah.
It's not the same. All right. So it's our hour is over. Thank you, Bras, Bitches, and Balls. Let's have a ball this week. Enjoy yourself.
I'm leaving for Phoenix tomorrow morning, so I will be at an affordable housing conference.
Awesome.
For the next 2 days. Good
have
time.
Fun.
Don't forget about Valentine's Day. Send your love to
Valentine's
someone.
Day.
Send your love to me. I love you. I'll send you a great big heart.
Oh, my God. Do that again.
Love is good.
Yeah.
You know you love a good love.
Okay. I love a good love. I just don't like Valentine's Day. But we'll talk about my anger towards Valentine's Day.
So on Valentine's Day, we will be here on Valentine's Day.
Yes.
And we have the love
after.
Of goats coming. Oh, is it the day after
goats!
Valentine's Day?
Oh, yeah. That's fun because goats were important to the original holiday.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day
oh, good.
Takes over. Yeah,
awesome.
Cool.
Fantastic.
Lovely.
So you can do some research on that.
Oh, and talk about Valentine's Day.
That kind of stuff. Valentine's Day. And then next week, I don't want to say who's going to be here because I don't want to. I'm scared she's not going to come if something happens. Oh, but Deeka's coming.
Deeka's coming
finally, back next
I've been
week.
I wonder where she's been.
Deeka's been busy.
Deeka is returning.
Good.
Deeka's returning. So that's good. And Frank, thank you for coming.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Talking to us about the Lone Ranger.
Thank you for having me.
No, you're welcome. Stay bitchy. That's right. Stay bitchy. Check us out with the spots. We'll talk about the spots next week.
Spots.
I want to tell you about the vomit
not the
spots.
Leprosy spots.
I don't have those. Oh, but, you know, I mean, if I had to.
We'll be right back. Thank you.